Wonderful Father in heaven, again, we're thankful for your mercies, which are new every morning. We're thankful, dear Lord, that you brought us out early to Sabbath school as we've come for a special blessing. You promised through your prophet that special blessings attend those who come early to Sabbath school. So we thank you, dear Lord, and remind you of these promises. We pray for more of your spirit. Bless us, guide us, and allow your word to penetrate that we might see the importance of having the true word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, as I was saying last night, we want to take a look at the different versions of the Bible, and some have already said that they've brought different versions. How many brought a few different Bibles with them this morning? A few people, because I want to use you as, you know, some reference. We'll have things on the board for people to see, but I want you to be able to tell the people that I'm not just putting something up there and making these things up. The presentation is going to take a little longer than 30 minutes, so we're just going to jump right into it. And Psalms 11 and verse 3, the Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And in this sense, I'm applying that the foundation of all Bible doctrine is the Bible itself. And so it's important that we have the correct version or understanding of the Bible. There's a lot of controversy out there that it's okay to have use this version for this and this version for that. As a matter of fact, I remember I went to a bookstore. I wanted to buy a Bible. This is when I first came out of the world. I really wanted to get my own Bible. So I went to the bookstore and I saw this wall of all these Bibles, all these different versions. And I didn't know which one to get. So I asked the lady that was there, and she says, well, if you're into reading, this Bible is better for reading. If you want to study, this Bible is better for study. If you like the stories, this Bible is good for stories. This one is not good for Bible study. This one, you know. And so the honest seeker of truth is going to ask the question, you know, which Bible do I choose? Now, a young boy or young girl will tell you something very, very easy to understand. And that's things that are different are not the same. A lot of people say it doesn't matter which Bible, they're all the same. No, things that are different are not the same. Read a statement here. It says, to employ soft words in discussing questions of everlasting importance, to deal with the question of all human hope, as they were hardly almost just men and assert. Though it may be the aptest method of securing popular applause in this philosophical age, it is cruelty to man and treachery to heaven. Those who on such subjects attach more importance to the rules of courtesy than they do to the measure of truth do not defend the citadel, but betray it into the hands of its enemies. Love for Christ and for the souls for whom he died will be the exact measure of our zeal in exposing the dangers by which men's souls are ensnared. And this is a very popular writer by the name of Thornwell. Now, the things that he said there are very important. A lot of people like to sugarcoat and make things, oh, not so important. But our zeal and our love for man is in exact proportion as we expose error. If we really love each other, we're going to tell each other the truth. Amen? All right. So on that note, Psalms 12, verses 6 and 7 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation for how long? Forever. The Bible promises that God will preserve his word. Notice Psalms 105, verse 8. It says, he hath remembered his covenant for how long? Forever. The word which he commanded to a thousand generations. Proverbs 22, 20 and 21 says, have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee that know that the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sin unto thee. The Bible calls the word of God the truth. Now we be certain that we have the truth. Matthew 5, 17 and 18 says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now what's a jot and a tittle? Anybody knows what a jot is or a tittle? Jot, dotting of I, crossing of a T, changes the difference. If you look at a Hebrew word, and I took the slide out that I was going to show you about this, there's a Hebrew word that says chet in het. A little different variation. And the difference is just a little swoosh on the letter. That's a jot. So God says he won't even take a jot away from his word to all be fulfilled. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. 1 Peter 1:23 and 25, being born again, not of what? Corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by gospel is preached unto you. We're born again by the word of God. Satan understands this principle. And so if we're born again by the word of God, don't you think that he would try to manipulate and change the word in certain areas? We're going to see how great that change is. Revelation 22, 18, and 19 has a fearful warning connected with it. It says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, that if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Very important we don't add to God's word or take away from God's word. Now, the popular understanding that when it comes to the different versions of the Bible is that there's nothing taken away or added to. It's just the these and the thous and all those are changed. But we're going to see some very startling things this morning. Dr. Baker, who is the chairman of the NIV study committee, when they got together and they had this huge committee, and I'll show you everyone that was on the committee. You'll be surprised. But Dr. Baker was the chairman, and this is something that he says. This is a statement. It says, there are over 5,000 Greek manuscripts, and all of them are agreed 98% of the time. So all of this debate that Carson refers to in the King James Version debate, all of this hullabaloo is over than less than 2% of the entire text of the New Testament. And in that less than 2%, you can select any reading that you wish among the manuscripts. That's not our approach, but you can. And it won't change Christian doctrine one bit. Now, this is his assertion. This is what he's saying. It doesn't matter. It's only over 2%, and doctrine doesn't change. Well, he's wrong on a couple of counts. And these statements are taken from a specific book, and I can get it for you, but I actually took out the reference on accident this morning. It says, his less than 2% difference between any of the Greek manuscripts would be 2,810 Greek words, or 12.9 pages. The truth of the matter is that there is a 7% difference between the Westcott and Hort Greek text and the Textus Receptus. Now, the Westcott and Hort, because we're going to be mentioning this over and over again, is the Greek text that was used for the NIV and every other Bible version. The Textus Receptus, the received text, is the King James. The received text was actually given to us and preserved by Islam. When Roman papacy was trying to destroy the Bible, they took this text and preserved it because they saw the beauty that was contained in the pages and the truth that was there. And so the Textus Receptus, the received text, underlines the King James Bible. This would be 9,970 Greek words or 45.9 pages. This is the most serious error. In other words, we can take 50 pages out of the Bible and just tear it out. That's how much change is only in the New Testament alone. We haven't touched the Old Testament. It is a blatant falsehood that this being promulgated by the chairman of the New International Version Translation Committee, it would give false confidence to the pastor and members of this church that has just recently given up the King James Bible in favor of Dr. Baker's NIV. I don't know about here, but in the States, you go into churches and they have Bibles in the pews. And I remember as a child, there would be Bibles in the pews. It'd be all King James. Well, you go in there now, and it's all NIV. And so it gives a false pretext because pastors say, well, I want people to understand the Bible. I want to change it. It's very sincere, but we'll see how much change there actually is. The second serious error is Dr. Baker's statement relative to the fact that variations in manuscripts won't change doctrine one bit. Skip down. It says, these two falsehoods from someone who should know better are the major ones used to lull Bible-believing Christians into deep slumber concerning the Bible version controversy that has been raging. All these quotes I have from different books, many different books. This one, the reference is gone. But here's some doctrinal terms that are changed. You'll see in the first line, King James, NIV, New Century Version, and so on. In the King James, the term advocate is used once in reference to Christ, but you don't have that in any other Bible version. To impute righteousness. You have it three times in the King James. You won't find that any time in other Bible versions. These are key doctrinal terms. Mercy seat, 27 times, 0 times in NIV, 1 time in New Century Version. Only begotten, 6 times, 0 in the others. Propitiation, in other words, the substitute for our sins. You have it 3 times, but 0 times in the other Bible. Sanctification. Now, we've been looking at this month, and without holiness, the Bible says, no man can see the Lord. Well, if you have NIV, you wouldn't be able to prove that. All right, sanctification, you can't find it there. The veil in the temple, 35 times, King James, 0 times in any other Bible version. And all the way down the line. Fornication, for example, 44 times, but you won't find that in any other Bible version. Sodomites, 5 times. Remember I told you the other night that the King James can prove that homosexuality is an abomination, but you can't with any other Bible version. Justification, 3 times. Adoption, 5 times. Only a few times there. To reconcile, 5 times. At least the NIV has it 3 times. But these are words that are there that are taken out. Here's some other ones. Unrighteousness, reconciliation, sanctify, 65 times. You see the difference. See the difference down the line. Repentance, cleanse, repent, saints, gospel. All these different words. Judgment, 200 on the very bottom. 285 times in the King James. But look how much less in the other versions of the Bible. A couple more examples on just doctrinal terms. You have walk or figurative walk, how we have a relationship with Christ. It's used 203 times, and it's lessened in the other versions. Righteousness, redemption, righteousness is twice. Redeem and covet. Now you'll notice on certain terms, you see in NIV how it has actually more than the King James. They actually add words in the text where it's not supposed to be there. All right? What 9,970 words is like in the English Bible? What would it be like? Remember, that's the difference between the King James and the other versions of the Bible. To get a picture of just how many words are involved, if they were together in one place, consider what basically 10,000 English words would amount to. It would be the equivalent of either the entire book of Romans, taken out of the Bible, the entire book of 1 Corinthians, maybe the entire books of 2 Corinthians and Galatians, the book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and 1 Thessalonians taken out of the Bible, the book of James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude to be removed. That's about the equivalent of these changes. The books of Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 2 Peter, Philemon, 2 Peter, 2 Thessalonians, 2 Timothy, Philemon, 2 Peter, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude. Big change. Big changes. This represents the total number of received text Greek words that have either been added to God's words, subtracted from God's words, or changed from God's words by the Westcott and Hort Greek text. Now, by the way, we're only talking about the New Testament right now. Not the whole Bible. Just the New Testament. So that's a large amount of change. Almost every word of God is pure. 17 verses are missing from the NIV, plus over 60,000 other words. Now, I'm going to focus on the New International Version for one reason. The New International Version sets a precedence for every other Bible version. So if it's in the NIV, it'll be in all the other Bible versions. So we'll just focus on the one to make it easy. But in the NIV, chunks of God's word are taken out. And there are 17 verses that are actually missing from the Bible. Now, does anybody have an NIV with them? All right, if you have an NIV, I want you to look up a few of these words. For an example, let's look up Matthew 18:11. What if we were preaching a sermon and everybody had NIV? And I tell you to turn to Matthew chapter 18, verse 11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. That's very important. That's me. That's you. Now, that's an important phrase in the Bible, but turn to Matthew 18, verse 11. And somebody read that for me in NIV. Is it not there? Is the number there? The number's gone. It actually goes from number 12. The whole number's gone from the Bible. You can look up all these verses, and they're not there. And something that was pretty interesting one time, he went to an area and we were trying to present this topic. And so I took all 17 of these scriptures and I kind of formulated a sermon around them. And so I would ask people to turn to certain verses, and first couple of times people kind of look up and you can tell they were really kind of frustrated. By the time you got to the fifth verse, people were raising their hands saying that verse it's not in the Bible. And so they started getting the idea of all the changes and subtractions that you find there. 1 John 5:7-3, there bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. These three are one, that's taken out. All these different things taken out of the NIV. Now, people say that the NIV is easier reading. How many ever bought into that lie? Yeah, let me show you something, all right? King James on the left, NIV in the middle. Now, these are dealing with different syllables, all right? And the King James rose up to play as four syllables. It's easy to understand what it means to rose up to play. But if you're reading to a child and you say indulge in revelry, what does that mean? You have to explain yourself to a child. Harder reading. Law of leprosy is now turned to regulations for infectious skin diseases and mildew. Sounds like, you know, the Center for Disease Control had something to do with writing the Bible. Snail is turned to skink. Told is what? Constipated. Okay? Like, think it worthwhile. Joint. Supporting ligament. Repay is reimburse. Last state is final condition. Notice the total of syllables just in those few verses comes to 43 in the NIV and only 17 in the King James. Now, they did a test, and there's a reading test, a standard reading test that's given to children when they go into changing schools, standard reading test. And they did the same test based on the King James, the NIV, the NASB, the TEV, and the New King James. And Genesis chapter 1, King James was on a fourth grade reading level, NIV on the fifth, you know, and it keeps going on. That's how they break it down. Malachi 1, fourth grade reading level, you know, NIV is a little bit higher. Matthew 1, sixth grade reading level, NIV is 16th. You have to be in college to read that. Revelation chapter 1, seventh grade reading level, and then NIV is a little bit lower. And the reason why it's lower is because they subtract much out of the revelation. So the average grade reading level, fifth grade is the average grade reading level for the King James, where everything else is eighth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, sixth grade. Higher grade reading. It's not easier reading at all. Okay, and these tests have proved it. All about your father, the devil. Ye are of your father, the devil. John 8:28-44. Now, in Eliphas Levi's Dogma of Ritual and High Magic, there's a statement. He says, there is an occult version of the Paternoster. That's the Latin for our Father. You know, the Lord's Prayer? There's an occult version of the Lord's Prayer that all the Satan worshippers pray. There were originally two ways of doing it, one reserved for the innate and the other for the profane. So the innate were those who were really a part of this movement. The profane were just, you know, the little regulars, okay, or the initiate and the profane. Your father, the devil. In the King James, it says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in earth, so on earth, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's Luke 11:2-4. The one on the other side, on the NIV, the NASB, and this is the profane of the Satanic, our Father, praise. Exact same prayer. Father, not our Father which art in heaven, just Father. So you don't differentiate who you're praying to. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who's against us, and lead us not into temptation. The major points of that prayer are subtracted. It's the exact prayer that the high ritual of magic these individuals pray. All right, very important to understand these major changes. Then there's the Message Bible. We were talking in the way here in the car. And you have some Bibles that are just paraphrases. You know, men, they for example, the Good News Bible, the Message Bible, these different Bibles. And this is the prayer in Matthew, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are, set the world right, do what's best, as above, so below. I mean, it just really belittles the prayer. But this is just a paraphrase. And we should really recognize that a paraphrase is not God's word, but man's version of God's word. So we shouldn't be bringing paraphrases to church or be reading paraphrases at all. Who's the morning star? We did this last night. You remember this one, Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O morning star? Remember this one? And then you can find out in 2 Peter 1:19 and Revelation 22:16, the morning star is Jesus Christ. The NIV and all the other Bible versions teach that Jesus Christ was the one that fell from heaven. So we don't want a Bible that teaches that our Savior fell from heaven. New Christianity, King James on the right, all the other Bible versions on the left. King James tells us to watch and pray. The other ones say keep on alert. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting, and that's omitted. Fasting omitted. This kind cometh not out but by nothing but prayer and fasting. Fasting is omitted. In the Christian life, fasting is a very important thing coupled with prayer. But you can't really support that with other Bible versions. Fasting is taken out. The scripture we read this morning, that every man should not live by, that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then that should be Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live on bread alone, by every word of God is removed. Desire the sincere milk of the word on the bottom, long for the pure spiritual milk. We don't know what milk that is. It's not connected with the word. Do you have a holy Bible? Well, if you have NIV, NASB, and all the rest, you don't. The word holy in all the Bibles taken out. You won't find the word holy. Holy men, holy angels, holy brethren, holy prophets, holy apostles, Holy Ghost. It's just spirit, apostles, prophets, brethren, angels, men. 2 Peter 1:21, holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Just men. Not holy men, but men. And it's true. Those who wrote the NIV, they were just men. So it's true for that particular verse. Do you have a holy Bible? Gospel of Christ is just gospel. If Christ is omitted, through Christ, the heir of God through Christ, you're just an heir of God. You don't have to come through Christ. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is omitted. Truth in Christ has just become truth. Now we'll come to this one, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Because the Bible says those who don't teach that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is antichrist. And this is their Bible. As a matter of fact, you can actually, I don't know if they still do it, but in the Philippines, where my wife is from, when you bought an NIV, you had a picture of Pope John Paul II on the cover because it was the official Catholic Bible. So it's the Bible of Antichrist. So therefore, you know, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. It's not in there. It's just Jesus. They prove who they are. Kingdom of God is just the kingdom. Spirit of God, the spirit. Love of God is the love. Angels of God is just angels. Gospel of the kingdom of God is just the gospel. Offerings of God is just offerings. Demotes these teachings. Hell is omitted 50% of the time in the New Testament. Hell is omitted 100% of the time in the Old Testament in these new versions. New versions omit two main characters of the Old Testament, Jehovah and Lucifer. You won't find Jehovah in the Old Testament or the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you won't find Lucifer there either. The names are changed. Heaven is also greatly reduced. And you'll see this here. King James, Father who is in heaven is just Father. Father which art in heaven is just Father. Father which is in heaven is Father. Now, why is that important? Now, we saw that satanic prayer. You know, when you pray, Father, which art in heaven, you're denoting which Father you're praying to. All right? Now, Satan worshipers called Lucifer, Father, our Father. So it's very, these changes you might think are subtle, but they're very blatant changes. Son of man, which is in heaven, is just Son of man. So on and so forth. Temple of heaven is just temple. New versions teach God is cruel. Notice this. King James on the right, NIV on the left. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Beautiful verse, you won't find it. Be of good comfort, won't find it. Mercy is gone. Power to heal the sick is gone. The lame man which was healed is gone. When God says in Hebrews 3:10 that he was grieved, didn't change it to say I was angry. 2 Corinthians 6:9, chastened. So you're punished. There's a difference between punishing and chastening. Ephesians 6:4, nurture and admonition is discipline and instruction. 1 Corinthians 12:21, humble is humiliate. Big difference between humbling and humiliating. John 20, verse 17, touch me not. He's telling Mary to stop clinging to me. Okay? Acts 7, verse 30 is bush, for whatever reason. And it's not in the NIV, but it's in the other versions of the Bible. They put thorn bush. I mean, didn't need to be there, but they decided to throw that in. All right? How does one get saved in the New Living Translation? 1 Timothy 4:16 says, stay true to that which is right and God will save you. That's the New Living Translation. So it's teaching a religion by works. And you'll notice certain things. For the Son of Man has come to destroy men's, has not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. We in the Bible see that salvation comes through Christ. Other Bible versions, if you're obedient, you'll be saved. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. It's gone. You won't find those verses. The gospel of Christ is just good news about Christ. Fruit of the Spirit is the light which you produce. Obey, and this is, you know, NIV. Okay, the light which you produce is not the fruits of the Spirit in the King James. Obey the truth through the Spirit is just a message to obey. Who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit is gone. You won't find that there either. Now we're going to look at some things about how falling away, how these versions fall away from the truth. Revelation 9:21, speaking about, it says, neither repented they of their fornication. What you're going to see, here's a Webster's definition. Fornication is an illicit sexual intercourse on part of an unmarried person. We understand that, right? It's not hard to understand what fornication is. Spiritual fornication is a little different in the Revelation. But still, you will not find fornication mentioned one time in the other Bible versions, NASB, NIV, you won't find it. It's turned to the word immorality. Now, you might think, well, there's nothing wrong with immorality. Well, give me a definition for immorality. Give me a definition. What is someone who's immoral? Look at what Webster tells you here. Okay, immorality is a state of being immoral. What is immoral? Not moral. It's relative. What's immoral to you might not be immoral for me. But fornication is clear cut, but you won't find it in the Bible. All right? Falling away, number two, men shall be unholy. 2 Timothy 3:2 says this, and also in the last days men shall be unholy. And we looked at some of these things already, but King James versus the other version says, the top one says, and come, take up the cross and follow me. It just says, then come, follow me. We don't need to take up the cross anymore. Holy men are just men. Pure heart is just heart. Perfect is adequate. God doesn't want us to be adequate. He wants us to be perfect. All right? Sanctified is called. All right. Campers, I have a little statement here. It says campers are equipped, but not necessarily perfect. You know, people want us to be equipped. Perfecting is equipping. Making you perfect, they just say equip you. All right. College students may complete their degree, but they're not necessarily blameless or perfect. Would you agree? King James is perfect all the way down the line, or blameless. But in the other Bible versions, it's fully trained, complete, 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 complete. Career Fortune 500 managers may get an award of excellence, but not virtue. Right, virtue is the word used in King James, but in the other versions is excellence. 100-year-olds may be mature, but they're not necessarily perfect. Perfection in the other versions of the Bible is turned to the word maturity, to be mature. Falling away, number three, to another gospel. He that preacheth another gospel, 2 Corinthians 11:4. Now, children, now imagine reading to your children this verse. Mom, is it, you know, how are we to be saved? Can Christ help us? And you turn to your NIV, and you turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 24, and the King James says, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. But you turn to your NIV, and you say, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. You know, it makes people want to be, you know, if I can't do it, why try? Okay? Narrow is the way, difficult is the way in the New King James. Unbelief is disobedience. Believe not, disobedience on the cross. Faith is turned to faithfulness. The difference between having faith and faithfulness. Little ones that believe in me is just one who believes. Believing in me, believing on me, believing in the name of the Lord, all these things are changed in the other versions of the Bible. The beast of the blood. King James says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We know that's speaking of Christ. Well, you won't find that. It's just in whom we have redemption, no through his blood. Faith in his blood is just faith. Washed from our sins is just freed from our sins. We're not washed as blood. Blood which is shed is a cup which is poured out. And again, that's not in the NIV, but it's in the other versions of the Bible. Suffering Savior in the King James. It says, this is my body which is broken for you. But you won't find that in the other versions. It's just, this is my body which is for you. Christ also has once suffered, it's just Christ also died, by himself purged our sins. it's he made perfection of sins. That can be interpreted kind of crazy there. Christ has suffered for us, as Christ had suffered, but not for us. His sacrifice for us in the King James is just has been sacrificed. All right, and it's this New Age avatar that you see there. We'll start getting into some New Age theories, and you'll see what I'm talking about in just a moment. Falling away number four is men would be fierce. All right, King James, do good to them that hate you. You won't find that in the new versions. So we don't have to worry about doing good to those who hate us if we have the other versions of the Bible. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. You won't find that there either. So we don't have to forgive. We don't have to do good to our enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and despitefully use you. You won't find that in the other versions of the Bible either. Now, are these doctrinal changes or not? Doctrinal changes are just changing these and thous. Doctrinal changes. Jesus is the Son of God. All right? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Well, the new versions of the Bible deny Christ. King James Version, dost thou believe on the Son of God as do you believe on the Son of Man? For so you might say, well, the Son of Man is Jesus. But the Bible uses specific words and specific phrases at certain points. And when he's called the Son of Man, it's specific for a reason. When he's called the Son of God, it's specific for a reason. And they change that and flip it around. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You won't find that in the Bible at all. An heir through Christ is just an heir of God. God who created all things by Jesus Christ is just God who created all things. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is just the Father. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ is omitted. Son of God is again changed to Son of Man. Christ, the Son of the living God, is the Holy One of God. Now, you're going to start seeing this phrase. If you're diligent in reading your NIV or the New King James, you'll see the phrase, the One. Always you'll hear about the One. Now, the One is in reference in high ritual magic and Satan worship. It's Lucifer. Lucifer is the One, or the Presence. And we'll start looking at some things. The Bible uses the term the Presence in the new versions as well. Son of the living God is omitted. His son Jesus is now his servant. The son is omitted, the son, because I go to the father is omitted. All these different changes in these versions of the Bible. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist. Well, all the references of Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, is not this the Christ. Lord Jesus Christ is Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Lord, Jesus Christ, but the Lord is removed out of all these things. Now, the Christ, is the world looking for a Christ? Yeah, it is. Okay, the Jews are still looking for one. New Agers are looking for what they call the Avatar, the Maitreya, which is the Christ. Everyone's looking for a Christ, but the Bible denotes who the Christ is, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ, but you won't find those there. In Revelation chapter 1 alone, the deity of Christ is uprooted 7 times in just that chapter. And Revelation chapter 1 sets a precedence for the rest of the book of Revelation. And we saw how Revelation is very important to us, but Christ is denoted time and time and time and time again. Remember the Bible principle called the first and the last that we went over? You won't find that in the New International Versions. Son of Man, you know, in the Bible, in the King James, it's capitalized. But it's not in the other versions. Hells, all these different things are changed, just in Revelation chapter 1. Lord is removed. But let's move forward for sake of time. There's one here that I thought that you would really like. I'm trying to remember. I may have passed it already. But anyway, as Jesus Christ come in the flesh, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Well, in the other versions, every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not of God. We need to acknowledge that he came in the flesh. Amen? The ascended Christ or the Antichrist. Talks about how Christ would go to the Father, how he would be carried up into heaven. And all these different phrases about Christ ascending to heaven are removed from the other Bible versions. You won't find it. When Christ died, he resurrected but never ascended back to heaven. So if he never ascended back to heaven, what did he never accomplish? He never began our intercessory work, sanctuary in heaven. All these things are whitewashed in these other Bible versions. Salvation by works. Here, let's just read one. If you look at the next one, where it says, the second one, Luke 21:19, where it says, "In patience possess ye your souls," and the New International Versions and all the rest, it's by standing firm you will save yourself. All right, so we know we can't save ourselves. Too smart for the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:4 says, "In the last days men shall be heady and high-minded." Again, these word changes, King James on the right of each column, and the other ones on the left. You know, all these words are changed. It's easy to understand the word new and coast and fan, but they're changed to unshrunk, environs, winnowing fork, peck measure, all these harder words for children and us to read. And we think it's easier, but it's not. Do we understand what it means to have an issue of blood? As adults, we might understand hemorrhage, but it's pretty hard for a child to understand what a hemorrhage is. But the issue of blood is something they can understand. Gospels and Gods of the New Age. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. In the New Age, however, a God, one of many, sends a Son or Avatar with a message to be a Savior for each age. Now, you'll remember what Jesus said, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the what? World." Well, if you look in other versions, it says, "even to the end of the age." Now, you might not think that's a big change. But God looks at things on the scale of the world. New Ages look at ages. Like right now, this is the age of what? The age of Aquarius. You know, you have all these different New Age themes. The gospel, the words, just AAA. The world is an age. End of the world, end of an age. End of the world, end of an age. It's mentioned as being an age. And the reason for this is, you ever heard of Scientology? Christian Science, all these? They use the Bible. But they focus on ages and things of that nature, not the world as a whole, but ends of age. And so that's New Ageism. We don't want to get into that. The one versus the Holy One. Remember I said that Jesus was denoted to being the one. All right, where it says despised him, speaking of Christ in all these verses, it's always the one, 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 all the way through. And the one in New Age is Lucifer. Now, the symbol, let's talk about symbolism for a minute. And by the way, you'll probably see the same symbol right here. All right? It's called the triskel, or the triskel. It's an ancient Celtic symbol representing all trinities. All trinities. All different beliefs. Three is seen as a magical number by many ancient cultures. And you'll notice that's not a, this is taken directly from their book. That's not a misprint, the word magical. Whenever they spell the word magic with a K or music with a K, it has stuff to do with spiritualistic understanding. It says there is seen as a magical number by many ancient cultures, especially the Celts. Many of their gods appeared in triple form. Remember I was telling you we don't worship the Trinity. The term Trinity came from this understanding. We worship the Godhead. One belief is that doing something thrice makes it so. You've heard the phrase, and we probably say it all the time. Third time's a what? Well, I know we say it in the States. So third time's a charm. You never say that here? All right, third time's a charm. Well, that's where it came from. One belief is that doing something three times makes it so. In numerology, three represents creative power and gestalt, when two things become more than the sum of their parts. Now, this symbol is in different forms, but it's all over. Here is a New Age magazine, and you'll see there in the left-hand corner at the top that symbol, the triskel. Pacific Spirit, unusual gifts from around the world. You get these off the internet. There's the symbol. PsyCorp Corporation uses that symbol in a little bit of different form. Here's a satanic cloth, and you'll see the symbol there circled in red. It's that triple three there. Here's the symbol over and over and over again. Here's, you guys know the Trilateral Commission? That's their symbol there on the right. And it, you know, formed in 1973 by private citizens of Europe, Japan, and North America. And they use that symbol, the triscale, or the Mobius it's called. Here's some other variations of the symbol. Sacred Triscale number one pagan website award. And the award is that triscale symbol. So it's very pagan. You get the drift now. a very pagan symbol. What does this have to do with the Bible, though? Here's a querying conspiracy written by Marilyn Ferguson, who was a New Ager, and this book is for New Agers. All right, the Aquarian conspiracy, that's the symbol, the triscale symbol. It's also called the Mobile, a page from some Masonic writings, and that's them making that symbol with their hands. And in Masonic ritual, the Masonic ritual is concerned in the recovery of the lost word, presumed to be the name of God, supposedly lost through the murder of the architect, Hiram Abiff, during the building of Solomon's temple. This quest is attained during the ritual of the royal arch degree. And they try to make this symbol, and by making this symbol, you become one with the spirit, and they give you God's forgotten name. You know, and so all that, you have people who, for an example, only pray or only talk about God, you know, that name thing. I know Jehovah's Witnesses do it. It's coming into Adventism where you have to say a specific name for God. You know, Masons do the same thing. You know, so it's very, it goes back into cults from far back into history. Here's some other, you guys ever heard of Led Zeppelin? All right, Led Zeppelin was a very occultic group. They have the symbol there. That's one of their symbols. You'll notice their name, LedZeppelin.com. You see that little angel there? That fallen angel that's angry? You ask Led Zeppelin, they'll tell you that's Lucifer. That's who it represents. And they're into the New Age. They're into heavy, heavy occultism. Their album was called The Presence. The Presence is another name for Satan. And they use that symbol, and their symbols in Japan, they use the same symbol. Let's look at esoteric Christianity just for a minute. Anna Besant is another New Ager. Okay, she's a Luciferian worshiper. And the Presence, what does the Presence mean? Because I told you the Presence is a name that Christ is called in the new versions of the Bible, or the One. It says, the Presence, this is taken from the book. It says, his the Presence that cheered the mystics and hunted acoustics, the patient seeker for truth. The deities who are worshipped are, for the most part, the various devils. But beyond all these, there is a dim but glorious overarching presence, seldom but never seen, whispered as a source of all, as power and love and goodness, too tender to awaken terror, too good to require supplication. Well, that's a statement from a book. The Presence is another name for Lucifer, and she is a Luciferian. This is the cover of her book. You see those fish? Now, I'll show you why this is important, too. Christians always thought that symbol of the fish was an old Christian symbol, and we put it on the back of our cars, and we have it connected to our Bible covers, and, you know, the fish symbol, that's Christian. Ah, comes way before Christianity. In Wicca and neo-pagan belief, the triquetra, which is this triple symbol, symbolizes the triple aspect of the goddess, maid, mother, and crone. Some Christians have protested this symbol. This symbol, however, ironically enough, the original Christian fish symbol was derived from an early symbol of Venus, one representing female genitive, organs, making the triquetra perfectly appropriate to the symbol for the goddess revival. Skip over this. If you'll notice that symbol again in the right, what we was calling the triscale before, it's also called the Mobius, it's also called the triquetra. This triple symbol is just three fish put together. But it's much more than just three fish. We'll skip through all of this fluff here. If you look at it, the symbol, and this is a symbol in numerology, comes from the Egyptian mysteries, very heavy occultism. They used this way back in Egypt, this symbol, and it was the symbol for the 666. And they put it together. Then a variation came out of making it a fish, and they put it together. But it's very heavy occultism. What does this have to do with the Bible? Right. If you look at the New International Versions, the New International Versions came out, and much of the new ones, they've taken this away because they got a lot of flack from it. But when they first, in the first 5 or 6 years of printing, this was on all of their covers. And I can go into churches now back in the States and lift up the Bibles in the pews, and you see this symbol all there. Now, why is that important? Satan always marks his material. That's something that you can find all over. He always marks his material. That has nothing to do, as Christians say, with the Trinity. They say it's a Trinity symbol. It has everything to do with Satanism. All right? The Bible says in Acts 17:29, we ought not to think the Godhead is like anything graven by art. And they were saying that that symbol was an old Christian symbol that represented the Trinity or the Godhead. No, nothing at all. Far from it. New King James omissions. The New King James omits the words Lord 66 times, God 51 times, heaven 50 times, repent 44 times, blood 23 times, hell 22 times, Jehovah entirely. New Testament, the term New Testament entirely, damnation entirely, devils entirely. And the New King James ignores the King James Greek Textus Receptus text over 1,200 times. All right? King James denotes Christ. Remember, we were talking about the NIV and all the other Bible versions. New King James is slightly different, but it still denotes Jesus. It's not just the these and the thous that are changed. Doctrinal points are changed. The New King James copies the Jehovah's Witness version. And does anybody have, oh, I know you have one. You can bring it in. All right. Well, the Jehovah's Witness Bible, if you look into it, it's the same as the New King James Bible. So are we Adventists or are we Jehovah's Witness? Okay? You have to make that choice yourself there. It copies it at many different times. Run through this here. Goes through the different ages, self-esteem, talks, you know, it denotes all these different things. Rejoicing to boasting. You know, when the Bible says we rejoice, but we don't boast. We rejoice, but it changes that. Many different changes in the New International Version. Why is the New King James use harder words than the King James? Okay? Smell is savor, house is habitation, give, gratify, fat is burden. Fat, overflowing. You know, we know what fat is, but we might not understand what burden is. Man, mortal, old, elderly, bones, limb, evil, adversity, evil, evil, evil in the King James. But we, you know, they must have really used a thesaurus as they were putting together this Bible. Adversity, you know, catastrophe, calamity, difficult, harmful, you know, terrible. You give a child the King James, they can understand evil, but all these other things they might not understand. Different changes that are in the King James. Scottish Rite or Baphomet cross. Back to a little bit of symbolism just for a moment. A Masonic symbol seen less frequently is the 33rd degree cross, or 33rd degree Freemason cross, because it appertains only to the highest degrees. It is more commonly called the Crusader's Cross or the Jerusalem Cross. It was supposedly worn by the first Grand Master of the Knights Templar, and he had liberated Jerusalem from the Muslims. This is a supposition. Suppose that this happened. This symbol is on the hat of the sovereign Grand Commander of all 33rd degree Masons in a very slightly modified form. It is part of the magical signature of Aleister Crowley. Anybody know who Aleister Crowley is? Okay, he called himself the Beast. Okay, you have the Beatles and all the other, you know, music of that time. They worshipped Aleister Crowley. And Aleister Crowley makes that part of his signature, and he's the supreme Satanist of the last century. Anybody who understands anything about these things, they know who Aleister Crowley is. Okay? This is what it looks like here. Okay, this is the Baphomet cross. Different forms. You'll notice, I don't have a picture here, but you can see this worn on the Pope wears this on his clothing. You know, he has it on the hats that he wears. All right. It's also found in the logo of the New Catholic Bible, the Jerusalem Bible. This is the New Catholic Bible that they just put out. It's kind of dark there, but you see it there. This symbol is also on the Seventh-day Adventist Bible commentary series. I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just saying it's there. All right, it's just for a point of reference. All right. Westcott and Hort. We've been talking about Westcott and Hort, and we're going to bring this aspect to a quick close. But Westcott and Hort were the men that wrote the new Greek text for all the Bible versions that are based upon today. All right. Westcott and Hort were occultists. They were occultists. They were part of, you know, they were part of different secret societies. They were a part of what they were called the Shepherd of Hermes Club. Now, Hermes is another name for Lucifer. And they called themselves Shepherds of Hermes. And this is a club that they put together. And we'll see it in just a second. I'm going to skip through some of this. They don't believe in the infallibility of the Bible. They deny the infallibility of Holy Scripture. They deny totally and absolutely the infallibility of the New Testament. They doubt biblical miracles. They don't believe they were true. They believe that the inaccuracy of the Greek New Testament, the original, they believe it was inaccurate, so they changed it. In that statement there, it said that they made corrections to the new Greek text. They don't believe in the creation, Genesis 1 and 3. They don't believe in the creation and the fall. Notice this statement. It says, no one now, I suppose, holds that the first three chapters of Genesis, for example, gives a literal history. I could never understand how anyone reading them with open eyes could think they did. And that was from the letters of B.F. Westcott. The fall of Adam was reasonable. Notice what he says. He says, the authors of the article doubtless assume the strictly historical character of the account of the fall in Genesis. This assumption is now, in my belief, no longer reasonable. All right? They don't believe in all of this thing. Westcott and Hort also believe that the fall of Adam and Eve liberated us. They believe it was a thing that liberated us from the snares and things that God had held over man. They upheld Darwin's Origin of Species. They were part of the Ghostly Guild, which is also a society that studies, these supernatural things. Let me skip through all of this here. Here's some of the, if you went and you did a study on Westcott and Hort, they were part of the Hermes Club, the Ghostly Guild. They were part of the Society for Physical Research. And the Society for Physical Research was began by Madame Anton Blavatsky, who was a high, high spiritualist of her day. And they were a part of that. Was also a part of the Apostles Club, Hort was, and Erasmus Club. Westcott and Hort both were. And these are satanic clubs. But these are the ones who wrote your NIV. These are the ones who wrote the New Bible versions. Okay? Skip through some of these points. Are you guys getting the picture here? You guys getting the picture? This isn't just some plain changes. This is some pretty heavy stuff. And I am blowing through a lot of these things. And I cut out a lot. This can be a six-hour presentation. So I just kind of threw some slides together to try to give you an understanding. But the King James. All the manuscripts that have the New Version of the Bible. Let's look at them and compare. They have 81, and some say about 88, papyrus, things that were written on papyrus paper. All right? 13 of them support the Westcott and Hort. Westcott and Hort will be on the left. 75 support the Textus Receptus. That's 85% versus 15%. Okay? The Unicles, which are these big, big books, are 267 in our possession today. 258 support the King James, 9 support the Westcott and Hort text. That's 97% versus 3%. Now, you might be kind of wondering, why is there some that support and some that don't? Well, you have two texts that the new versions of the Bible are written on, and that's the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus. The Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus, the Vaticanus very clear comes from the Vatican. You can see that. But they found these in the trash. The monks were going to burn them because there were so many errors in it, but they took them out of the trash and used them as the basis for all the other Bible versions. Okay, so these were things that were in the trash. So these little percentages. Cursives, they have 2,764. Only 1% of those are for the Westcott and Hort, 99 for King James. Lectionaries is the same. 100% support King James, 0 Westcott and Hort text. That's 99% total support the King James. Only 1% support the new versions of the Bible. Now, if we're in a court of law, and I give you 99% proof that this man is innocent, I mean, I come with 99 pieces of evidence that prove that this man is innocent, and you have one that might or might not be true. By the preponderance of evidence, where do you go? On the side of the one with more evidence. King James is supported. Blow through some of these. Here's the translators of the NIV committee. I don't expect you to read through all of that there, but I want to point out one who's a very interesting character. Okay? This is Virginia Mollenkopf. Now, if I probably didn't put a name on there, you wouldn't know if it was a man or a woman. Okay, now Virginia Mollenkopf was very high up in the NIV study committee, and she helped write this, but she also wrote a book called Sensuous Spirituality. And NIV's Dr. Virginia Mollicott jabs and says, "My lesbianism has always been a part of me." And that's the Episcopal Witness, June 1991. And her pro-homosexual book, Is the Homosexual My Neighbor?, echoes the NIV's assertion that the Bible censures only criminal offenses like prostitution and violent gang rape, but not the sincere homosexuals drawn to someone of the same sex. You were born that way, God understands. No, the Bible doesn't go that route. All right, but she wrote this book, and this is the one who took out the fornication and put immorality, took out sodomites and put nothing. She's the one that removed all of these different things in regards to that. Why? Because it supports her lifestyle. Okay? King James uses the term effeminate, and effeminate is any homosexual. And in the new versions, it's male prostitutes or homosexual offenders. So not the good homosexuals, just the bad ones. All right, sodomites are used as shrine prostitutes. You see how it supports the criminal offenses, but not the genuine lifestyle, they say. Okay, there was another man who was also on that. You probably can't see this too well, but another man that was also a part of the NIV study committee is Carlo Martini, who is a cardinal, Roman Catholic cardinal. And he was very much involved in all the changes of the NIV. Now, Carlo Martini, if we can get this far in our I'm going to run to it real quick. Blow past this. That's the history, by the way, that tells you that the King James came from Antioch. Remember where the apostles went? The book of Acts, they went to Antioch, and it became the new headquarters of Christianity. The King James, you can trace in history, comes all the way from Antioch. The NIV and all the other Bible versions come from Alexandria, which is in Egypt. And in Alexandria, many different terrible things happen, but you can trace it down. Let me blow through here. This is just saying how new discoveries that support the King James all of a sudden come out, but then they mysteriously disappear. You know, and why that has to be that way, you know, it's the devil doesn't want us to understand these things. There's a part in here I'm looking for. Everybody always talks about the Dead Sea Scrolls, yeah? The Dead Sea Scrolls do not promote and substantiate the King James. When the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, they immediately went to the Vatican. And they were there in the hands of the Vatican for a number of years before they let them out to the public. And there's a lot of evidence that they doctored up and changed what was really in the Dead Sea Scrolls. So anybody that tries to say the Dead Sea Scrolls prove these are... Carlo Martini. Here it is, here. Dr. Allegro was invited to help. We'll go back here. The bottom bullet says, so the NIV and New King James are shaking on thin ice when they alter the traditional text and follow the readings of the Dead Sea Scrolls. When complaints were voiced that the scrolls were being dishonestly handled, and when it was discovered that Father DeVooks, the director of the project, was an alcoholic, Dr. Allegro was invited in to help. However, being an agnostic, he had his own corrupt agenda. He went on to write the book, The Sacred Mushroom and the Cross, which alleges that Jesus Christ never existed or was a construct of imaginations of a psilocybin mushroom cult. He even wrote that the Catholics threatened him with dire consequences if he would not accede to their agenda. Now, this man didn't believe in Christ at all, but was used to write the new versions of the Bible. But the Catholics, under Carlo Martini, put pressure upon him to go along with their agenda. What was their agenda? This agenda includes the deification of man, making man God. According to Cardinal Maria Martini, he is the only working member left in the Greek text committee, which underlies the new NIV and almost all of the versions. He wrote in his book, In the Thick of His Ministry, that man could be divine, on page 42. This is not new for Roman Catholics. They often quote Erasmus in saying, God became man that man might become gods. In a recent newspaper, the Western Catholic Reporter, September 7, 1997, on page 16, they say the church teaches that the priest is not simply an ordained man, but rather in celebrating the sacraments is Jesus Christ himself. And so in the NIV, in the new versions of the Bible, you have these sentiments that deify man. You know, the Pope can take out his NIV and prove why he says he's Jesus. The And that's the agenda behind Carlo Martini being there. Let's blow past this. Now this, I don't know if you can read it, but I'll tell you the story for time. On the John Ankerberg show, has anybody ever heard of John Ankerberg? Well, in the States, he's a big, you know, religious reporter. And on his show, he had a couple guys that would support the King James and a couple that supported the NIV and all the other Bible versions. Now, he had about three that supported the King James and about maybe nine that supported NIV. Okay, and each were given a slot. And totaling, I have the totals here, it doesn't really mean anything. Those who supported the King James were given probably 15 minutes out of an hour and a half to support the King James. All the rest, you know, they went to the NIV. But there was something interesting that happened on live TV. On live TV, what happened was this. The King James, one of the men that was supporting the King James, he said that he had heard a story that during the translation of the New Testaments for the NIV, that many of those who had translated it from the original to their supposed Greek text all of a sudden went mute. They couldn't speak again. And so he says, "Why?" And he knew that there was evidence to show that that was true. So he asked one of the NIV committee members to, you know, comment on that. And when he went to speak, he became mute on live TV. You know, it's very interesting. So this is the newspaper from Flashpoint, a newsletter ministry, October, volume 9, 9510, page 3. Tells that story there. Yeah, we'll end up here. The evidence shows, and again, like I told you, this was probably 5%. Of the evidence that proves King James. The evidence is very clear that these new versions of the Bible shouldn't be in our house. You can't prove doctrine. The things that we're learning this month, you can't prove them. Many, many, many different changes. And why is that important to the devil? Because he realizes it's by the Word of God that we're born again. It's by the Word of God that we receive the latter rain. It's by the Word of God that we'll stand at the end of time. So if he can change it, tweak it just a little bit, do it in just such a way where we think it's okay, he has us fooled. All right, so let's pray. And by God's grace, everybody go out and get a King James, use the King James, and pass the information along. Let people know that this is not something we should do. If you want a book for a point of reference that gives you all of the changes, it's called New Age Bible Version. It's a black book that has a dragon on the front. You can get it off the internet. Called New Age Bible Versions. You type that in, and you'll have a bunch of information on King James versus the other Bible. All right? So let's kneel down and have a word of prayer. Close our Sabbath school. Father in heaven, Lord, again, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful, dear Lord, that you have preserved your word. History shows us, dear God, that you preserved your original text. And we're so grateful. We're thankful, dear Lord, that you thought about us here at the end of the world and took a painstaking effort to make sure that we had the true Word of God. We ask you, dear Lord, to help us, help our brethren, help our church to come out from under this spiritual fog of thinking and believing that these new versions are just easier reading. No, dear Father, they're the change of our doctrine. Pray that you guide us. Bless us and help us in Jesus' name. Amen.